Every day, this woman walks into a clearing in the jungle in central Liberia. The clearing is a burial ground next to an Ebola treatment unit where she works. She sings this song to prepare the space for the dead. Nearly 100 people have been buried there in the past 2.5 months. 16 of them came from one tiny village. NPR's Kelly McEvers went to that village to find out how this Ebola hotspot started, how it ended, and what's left behind.
The village is called Taylortown, or Telata, as the locals say it. There's one gravel road down the middle, houses on either side made of mud bricks and thatched roofs. There used to be a market here once a week.
So this is where the market is?
Yeah, this is where the market in the morning is.
Yesterday when the market, because of the situation, there are no market now.
Yeah.
Because of the situation, he means Ebola, the village is under quarantine. People sit on benches with no words and blank stares. The trouble in Telata started about a month ago. A man in the village named Stanley Jua had a son who was living in Liberia's capital, a few hours away. The son was staying with relatives. Three of them died in a row. People said it was childbirth and grief. They didn't say it was Ebola. Stanley went to get his son and bring him back to the village. The two went to work in the sugarcane fields. On the third day, the son was achy and tired. Then he started getting really sick. Thing is, Stanley had been trained by the county to recognize Ebola and notify authorities if it appeared in the village. But when his own son got sick, he tried to treat the boy himself, says village youth leader Peter Gasho.
He had information. He hid the information.
So other people in the village called the county health team. Stanley and his wife met the health team and told them a story.
Stanley and his wife, when they convened, they said a leper problem.
When they convened, they told the team it was a leopard problem.
The leopard.
Oh, the leopard.
Animal. Yeah, it got big animal. Yeah.
So wait, Stanley and his wife told the village this is a leopard problem.
Yeah, a leopard problem.
So somebody was a leopard.
Turned into a leopard and was killing his son.
Stanley said some person had turned into a leopard and tried to kill his son. Our interpreter tells us it's a common belief in Liberia that witchcraft can make you sick. But in the time of Ebola, this belief can be dangerous. Peter takes us to Stanley's house. The front door is closed. Outside are abandoned wooden benches in a circle. This is where Stanley's son died.
Yeah, when he died, you see all the benches?
Yeah, so he died here outside.
Yeah.
So was he laying on a blanket here or?
Yeah, on blanket. Also.
And were people touching him?
Yeah.
Trying to help him, make him feel better?
Okay, so I came with corner medicine and then
gave him medicine, rubbed him with herbs.
Touching all body is body.
They're just trying to be kind, right?
Sympathy.
Sympathy.
Yeah.
That sympathy would get many of them killed. A person dying of Ebola is very contagious. The first people to get sick were the boy's siblings. Finally, the father, Stanley, admitted it was Ebola. And finally, county health officials went into action. They took the six siblings to an Ebola treatment unit, or ETU. They documented everyone who'd been in contact with the family. They quarantined the village. Then they came back to check every day. The next people to get sick and die were the women who'd tried to help Stanley's son, like the grandmother of this girl who's sitting outside her house next to the cook fire.
Hello. How old are you?
11.
11.
Yeah.
Because her grandmother died, says one village man, Emmanuel, people in the village are afraid of the girl and of her 10-year-old brother.
Because nobody will be brave and come, especially somebody that died from that house.
So nobody's brave enough to come and take care of the young people. Because somebody died in this house.
Yeah. That's it.
Our interpreter asks who stays with the girl and the boy at night.
So who gets to wear?
Nobody.
After the caregivers got sick, the people in their houses got sick. One strong young guy got Ebola from his mother. He was visiting from his final year at the University of Liberia. Peter, the youth leader, says he was the hope of the village.
We are lose, I can say, the most important person in the town.
We lost the most important person in the town. It's at this point that people started looking for someone to blame. They started pointing fingers at Stanley, the one who brought his son to the village from the capital, then denied his son had Ebola. Stanley got Ebola too, but he survived. His wife and four of his children died. Stanley was released from the ETU last week, but he hasn't come back to the village. People had already looted his house and threatened to burn it down. Stanley calls people in the village sometimes. Nobody knows exactly where he is. We tried to reach Stanley. We called and sent messages. Then he switched off his phone. From this one case, this one boy, 30 people got Ebola in Teleta, a village of only 140 people. 12 people survived. One of those survivors is a teenager named Romeo. We're there when he gets released. People crowd around to welcome him back as a county health official presents Romeo and a document saying he's Ebola-free.
Present to you your child back to you people.
Romeo still has red eyes, bloodshot from Ebola. He's lost so much weight his pants are falling down. He listens to his iPod for most of the health official's presentation. Afterwards, people amble back to their houses or to the main road to gossip. Ebola is gone from the village, but the market's still closed. People still rely on international aid organizations for food. It'll be a while before things get back to normal. In the coming days, the village plans to have a memorial for the people who died. As of today, there are only 2 people from Teleta left in the county Ebola treatment unit. There, the Liberian doctors and nurses who tend to these patients will do what they do every day before they start their shift. They will stand in a circle and sing this prayer. Kelly McEvers, NPR News.
NPR's Rebecca Hersher produced this story.